So come on, Mama Dill. So I'm just going to ask you, what's been your role this week? Because you've been a busy girl.
I've been looking after the... Oh, no, not really. But I've been looking after the registrations today, this week. Sorry. Just go with it. So I've been looking after the girls that have been over at the tables behind the back there, and then inputting everything into the computer, which has been a much nicer experience this year than it has been in the past. And it's all been going really well. And I have another offsider who's been helping me with the teens program at night that I'm really appreciative of. So, yeah.
So Adele sits there at the computer all morning behind the scenes doing a lot of hard work. Yeah. Now, can you tell us just about your current life circumstances?
I'm married to Nigel, who's our resident intensive care paramedic. I know, I was going to send him up. yeah, he goes, "You're the doctor." I have three children. We have Amy, she's 12, going into year 7 this year. Joshua is 9 and Ben is 8. And we have one dog that's very silly and his name is Banjo, and a rabbit called Fredo.
Okay, all right. Now, our talk this morning was on addictions. A lot of us, yeah, not prepared to quite admit that we've got addiction, but I know we have passions and obsessions. are you happy to share yours with us?
Yes, I am. And it's not earth-shattering, just relax. when my first child was born, a friend of mine that I had met through mother's group with her invited me to a scrapbook workshop at her house, and I started to pursue that hobby because it was a way to document the milestones of my child and also how our new family would evolve and develop and, document our history, I guess. And then when my next child was born, the girls that were in that mother's group also had a craft bent. So we became really good friends and started going to each other's houses and doing scrapbooking at night time while the dads were looking after the children, which was a bonus. And so we kind of developed a friendship and a way of, like, having... These were party plan type companies that we were buying supplies from, so we would each hostess an event and so take turns of earning free product and things like that. So through that I was introduced to another lady who was a representative for a company called Stampin' Up, and I eventually signed up as a demonstrator under her, and I still am a demonstrator now, although my husband sometimes wishes I wasn't. And now Josh is about to turn 10 in March, and I'm still meeting with some of those girls that I met through that mother's group one day a week to do craft. So it's developed into a friendship that we now are... they're like sisters to me, those three girls. So, wherever that day is, I make it a priority. And on the other side of that, whenever WOW is, I make that a priority as well because they're my other sisters. So, yeah.
So there's been positive things come out of that interest, but there is a downside.
There is.
Yeah, and you were telling me about what it's done to your house.
Yes. What it's done to my house is we have a 3-bedroom house. Well, it's actually 6-bedroom now because we built on upstairs when our third child was born. Our bedroom was downstairs in the bigger of the three rooms that are downstairs, and we decided to move that room into the next biggest room and turn that bedroom into our office craft area. And we went to... The computer is in there. We went to IKEA And we bought one big 5x5 shelf unit and another 4x4 unit and two desks that come off that. And then a 2x4 unit at the end of the desks. And if you stand in our kitchen and look into the craft room now, last night, and Nigel's sitting at the computer, which is near the window, you can kind of see him if you go like that or go like that, in between ink pads and ribbon containers and a display thing to hold my cards. So, yeah, we are in. It's a good, actually, because you can sneak in there and hide from the children, but they're getting a bit tall. They can see over now. Yeah.
So one of the things Dave was telling us is that perhaps you recognise it's a problem when someone else is annoyed by it. Should we ask Nigel? He sounds very patient. Okay. All right. So, look, I'm going to ask you about when you became aware of God and when God became part of your life.
I've always been aware of God as something. I remember when I was little, Dad would always read the Bible at the breakfast table to himself, and then sometimes as I got older and could read, I would try to read the verse that he was up to and he'd help me along. So I've always been aware of the Bible as a book and as something that was important to Dad, although he didn't go to church at that stage. And also my uncle on my mum's side, he married my mum's sister. He is a Presbyterian minister, which I suppose would be uniting now, but, you know, whatever. And then when we enrolled Amy at the Christian school at Wyong, I told them in the interview that essentially while we had been married in an Anglican church and we'd had three children baptised in an Anglican church, I didn't really know that much about God and what it meant to be a Christian. So I was essentially going to be walking with her alongside her on her journey to learn about God. I would be doing that with her as well. And then we were invited to Good News Week in 2008. How do I know that? Significant. Our neighbour's daughter came over with one of the flyers from Good News Week and she had written, "Dear Amy, please come to this, love, Lauren." So we didn't come on the Monday. We went to another program and went, no, I think we'll go to this other one tomorrow. So for the rest of that week, we came along to Good News Week, heard some wonderful talks. I remember Sonia Dawson was talking about mercy ships. There was also a talk about the park that was built at Long Jetty. And it was emotion charged, all of those things. It just, I could feel it. And I didn't understand why at that stage. The kids all had a wonderful time in their programs and we decided to come to the Carnivale on the Sunday after Good News Week. The kids loved it and we've been coming since. So, yeah, and we were also, both of us, Nigel, when he was able to come and he wasn't working, I was befriended by Annie. So she was... just made sure we were looked after and taken care of, and Nigel was talking quite a bit to Phil Owers. So, yeah.
That's great. But then you were sharing with me that in recent years you've faced some emotional challenges of your own, both through social circle and as a parent. You okay to share that with us?
I wrote it down. So if I don't look at you, I'm so sorry. I'm just reading for my own piece. I've had a couple of friendship circles break down. One that had developed through mother's group, and another that had developed through a church that we were going to at the time. And I don't really know what it was that caused those friendships to break down. And some of them have, some of those friendships have been repaired, and one of them is still going strong and integral to my week. And others haven't, they're still broken. But I think the relationships that are healed or healing are because we were able to communicate with each other openly and listen at the same time. And just it just occurred to me that those people are in my life for a reason, because either I have something to give them or they have something for me. So, and then as parents, Nigel and I discovered that our eldest child was struggling with bullying at school. And I found it very difficult to deal with it because her mood swings and outbursts kind of took me to where I wanted to be to deal with my friendship troubles, and I couldn't yell and scream and jump up and down because I'm the parent. So I just shut down emotionally. Which didn't help her. It didn't help her really. I couldn't explain to her that I knew exactly how she was feeling. I try to now, but yeah, it's hard.
So that affected you and how you felt about yourself.
Yep. So I have suffered, or I do still suffer, bouts of low self-esteem. So I would withdraw from people into my own family unit and hide in there pretty much, and pretty much limit contact with people that I didn't know well or trust completely. And I felt guilty and distressed that I couldn't help my daughter that... as much as I wanted to, I couldn't be there for her because I was still broken and needed to heal. But it was hard for me to really express that to anybody, to Nige or to Mum and Dad or to close friends. So I used craft and scrapbooking as my crutch, pretty much. So that became my obsession. I would need to have the, you know, if a new catalogue came out or something like that, I would buy stamps, paper, ribbon to feel better. But it didn't make, and I'd shut myself away to make cards or scrapbook. But it didn't make me feel better, because then I would get frustrated because as the children got older and they needed to be places, I didn't have the time I used to have to scrapbook and spend doing my hobby, which had become an obsession. Online shopping, it's not good. So I'd end up in a cycle of feeling frustrated, then feeling guilty because I was frustrated, then denying it, and then just feeling helpless.
And buying more,
yeah. And getting frustrated.
So one of the things is you did realise that you probably needed some outside help or some support to cope. Yeah. So what did you do?
The first time that we came to Good News Week, I remember that one of the ladies that got up on one of the days, a bit like today, really, I did ask Hayley before, did she show David my thing? Because it was, yeah. bit scary. So this particular lady was talking about a program that is run at the Lakes that helped men and women at that time to work through hurts, habits and hang-ups that were holding them back from fully participating in a closer relationship with their family, their friends and with God, to help them break down the barriers that were holding them back from fully enjoying close relationships. So, and I also found in the years until, like it was probably 2 or 3 years, each time the program, I think Matt mentioned it before, the Road to Recovery, whenever that was mentioned, a spotlight on that program in church, it, I felt convicted, even though I didn't know at the time that that's what was happening. And I also felt emotionally attached to what the people were talking about. So eventually I went to recovery. And in recovery they work through, I think Matt mentioned, or maybe not, the Beatitudes from the Bible, from Matthew. And I was able to more fully understand how my identity is linked to Christ and what he has done for us. So my acceptance, my security and my significance is all in Christ, and he died on the cross for me to make me right with God. To cleanse me of my sins and show his love for me and to show that I matter to him. So the confidence I have gained from that, and I'm still working on it, has just been irreplaceable. I don't think I would be who I am today without that and without the support of people around me and people here. People in my Bible study group, past and present, and the friends that I've made here in this church. It really, I think, part of why we have kept coming is that it really does feel like a family. I am an only child, so, and I have a beautiful husband who loves me and 3 children that I love dearly. But to be able to have a whole host of other people that are in different places on their journey and way ahead of me, be able to help me learn more about where I fit into God's plan and, to help me grow as a Christian. So I am forever thankful to Lauren that she invited us here, and the kids love it. Like, I mean, our children go to a Christian school and they get a wonderful education there and a grounding in God, but they have fun here and still learn, and they, just looking at them with the leaders of the Lost team over the years, it's developing that relationship and their learning and walking as well as Nigel and I are, me more than him because he's a bit wiser than I am, and also now my mum and dad are coming to the church because Amy invited them to one of the weekends that we had where you invite people, and the following weekend we were down in Sydney, they came to church on their own. So that's, to me, that is quite significant that Dad and Mum and Dad are both quite comfortable here because Dad would never go into a church when I was growing up. So, yeah.
Now, you did mention that one of your struggles is with self-esteem, but there are some truths that you've come to accept about yourself and what Jesus has done for you. and that has made you loved and valued. Can you tell us about that?
I've come to understand that I'm not perfect, but through Jesus, who died and was buried and rose again, I'm forgiven. And that sacrifice just is unbelievable. It just speaks volumes for my worth, but for the worth of everyone that God has sent, that God sent Jesus to take our place, to take my place on the cross, and to die so that I didn't have to, so that I would be free from sin, to be right with God in heaven, and to have eternal life with him. I've learnt that it doesn't matter what other people think of me. I can't control the behaviour and the thoughts of others. It's what Jesus thinks of me that's important, and my acceptance and security in relationship with him, and my significance to him that matters. God is in control of everything, and he has a plan for each of us, and God keeps his promises, and that is just amazing.
Thanks, Adele. Thank you.